Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in a secret undisclosed location outside the Right Side studios. But man, we still got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Wednesday, 4 p.m. Wednesday, 4 p.m. has some magic attached to it. We like to do a thing we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren who've been doing talk radio longer than I have, and we just ping each other with questions and see where the chips fall. And so I think Jeff Poor is still traveling, and he may be hung up right now. So if he gets on the net, we'll go with it. But it takes two out of three to make a quorum. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, also writes for Yellowhammer News, and allegedly is on other stations too, although I'm still disputing some of that. Dale Jackson, how you doing?
Oh, I would never disrespect you by not showing up on time.
And I appreciate that. Jeff Poor. No Jeff Poor. Therefore, I'm calling a quorum of two. Hit it, Big Rig.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da! Ba-da! All right. Here we go. Dale, you go first, man. What kind of question do you have for moi?
All right, I'm seeing it happen, and I think we're going to see a lot more of it as time goes on and we get more ability to go virtual. There's a school down in Montgomery that's saying, COVID, so we're going to have to go remote. They're going that way till the end of the week. At least it's 2024, and they're doing it. And I got to tell you, I'm going to start asking legislators, it's time to say that if you take a day off for some illness or something, we're tacking that on at the end. We've got to disincentivize it, in my opinion, and that's how you do it. That's my suggestion.
So back me up here. You say they shut down the whole school? What are they doing? Is it starting late? What are they doing?
No, they shut it down. It's got COVID. Everyone's got COVID. They're going to shut down. They're going to stop COVID. And when they come back, they're going to let them wear masks.
Well, this is part of the school
system. Neither
of
those things work, by the way. Virtual learning doesn't work. Nor masks don't work.
The face diaper does not work. It does not. And I don't care how many of them you strap on, including the plastic shield and all of it. It does not work. All right. Is this part of the Montgomery County school system?
It is.
The same school system that a few years ago the state had to intervene and take over.
Mm-hmm.
I smell a rat. So first of all, is it time for the legislature to say? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think right now there were some people that got so conditioned to the idea that COVID gave them carte blanche. It was like the get out of jail free card. Do whatever you want to do. And I'm not saying it didn't really happen and have an impact on society, but there are people who have now abused the process. Just like seeing people abuse the financial resources that were made available, we're seeing people that are using it still as excuses for work.
Yeah, and I don't think we need to see like if you take one day off, boom, you're adding that to the end. But if you take like five in a year for some health issue or something, we're tacking those on at the end. Just a disincentification of that.
And so I look at it too and think, all right. You guys believe so heavily in the CDC. Why don't you follow CDC guidance right now, which, oh, by the way, does not allow you to take an entire week off. I mean, it's like, this is like a bad cold now.
Well, look at how the media is covering it. Some of the media is saying they're following CDC guidelines, which they, like you just mentioned, they are not.
No, they are not. And, you know, I did notice, by the way, that it's like a thing. All of a sudden, the World Health Organization is letting us know that monkeypox is a big deal again. So don't fret. We're going to have something. Monkeypox. That's sure to be a thing. All right. Let me ask you a question. Let's go to politics for a minute. Although yours was quasi-political. Joe Biden, next week, DNC. They've actually got him opening. He's sitting president of the United States, just got kicked off the ballot, and they're going to get him out of the way on night one as opposed to giving him a vaunted spot later in the week. Is he going to stay on script? What do you think? Is there any chance that he'll get out there and say something that all the Democrat establishment is going to hate that he says?
I don't know, and neither does he. I think that's the best way I can put it. He has no idea what he's going to do, and no one else does either. And I think that there's going to be a real possibility that he gets up there or there's a real possibility he gets up there and maybe throws some shade at the people who pushed him out. I don't know. Yes. I think he'll be a good soldier because at the end of the day, he's done some stuff and his family's done some stuff that he needs some help. So I think that he'll play nicey.
Well, there's even more stuff right now to be talked about because we're finding out even today that there was an additional effort on the part of Hunter Biden to gain influence while his dad was VP. Yeah, I know that surprises you.
Did Trump get impeached because Burisma and Ukraine? Okay, I'm just checking.
And oh, by the way, this one's about Ukraine. It was about Ukraine having access to something.
It was about Burisma too. It's about Burisma too.
It's unbelievable. All right, so you think? All right, here's the deal. There's a lot of talk right now that he is really sour on the Democrat establishment, and I can't help but wonder if there might be a little dig buried somewhere in his comments, or if he might get off script. I see it. You know, they say sundowners, and he'll be speaking in the evening. They say that sundowners, one of the things that happens is emotions get frayed, and you can.
Well, I'll be up there on Monday, so maybe I'll go see him.
Are you really?
Well,
are you
I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to a Cubs game this weekend. And I will be there Monday. So maybe I'll swing on by and see if I can get in.
You picked a heck of a week to go to Chicago.
I didn't think about the Democratic National Convention. I thought about when my lovely wife's birthday was.
Wait a minute. I just figured it out. You're one of the Doug Jones delegates to the Democratic National Convention.
Yes,
is that what's happening right now?
Do you think I get a speaking spot if I go up there and say, I'm a talk show host and I've had enough of this talking point media and I'm ready to blow the lid off, put me on the stage and I'll give them what for, I tell you.
I just don't see it happening. Enjoy the Cubs. All right, so okay. Cubs, not Sox. Okay, I got you. All right, your question for me, what do you got?
I already asked my question. You want me to give you another one? Okay, here we go.
Yeah, we don't have a Jeff here.
I didn't even notice that he wasn't here. I'm sorry. I missed that.
Sure we tell him that later. Yes.
Let's talk about the Kamala Harris thing since we're already on this little path here. They're basically saying they're going to distance themselves from Joe Biden, right? So we're gonna not allow we're not going to be able to say, well, you know, she's in the administration, so if she's going to bring down inflation, don't you think she should, you know, start working on that now, because they're totally different people and now she's had nothing to do with this entire administration. But she's also the VP, so she has the experience to do the job. How do you square this circle?
There is no squaring of the circle. They have created an octagon. And I mean, there's all kinds of rough edges and angles on this thing, because there's no way in the world they can square this circle. The Democrat voters who are buying that mantra are having to go through a complete suspension of disbelief. It's really kind of galling, to be honest with you. It's insulting, if you get down to it, to the Democrat electorate. They're going to say, hey, those prices that we know you're paying at the grocery store too, and the prices at the pump, and the fact that you can't find a job, and, you know, and the fact that you're worried about the crime in your streets and the housing encampments and, you know, everything. I mean, the tent cities and all of that. Listen, the bottom line is Kamala's here now, and she has experience. They can't rectify that disparity because here the Republicans are going to have to make her own it. That's part of the messaging strategy that needs to really kick in right now, is they've got to start hanging this around her neck. They're finding great clips of Tim Walz speaking. They need to start finding some serious clips of Kamala speaking on things that she says she doesn't stand for now.
Gotta believe that's coming.
I would think.
You got it. And you know, you mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I think, and you were very impressed with yourself when you started using the word retcon. But I'll tell you, you know, anyone who's read a comic book or watched a movie in the last 20 years knows exactly what that is. But they're trying to retcon her entire story and they're just making her a completely different person. And you know what? If she wins, we deserve it. And that's as best I can put it, because there's no way anyone should be able to look at what she's doing and what she's done and say, yeah, okay, she deserves some time. She's not really Joe Biden. But that's their entire playbook, is take no positions, don't be Joe Biden, don't be Donald Trump. And that might work.
Well, right now it is working. And I don't want people to misunderstand my enthusiasm for the conservative side of the ticket with the idea that Kamala can't win. We could lose this race right now. And that's just a thing. It's not because of policy or anything else. It's because Democrats are so relieved not to have doddering Joe at the top of the ticket that they're willing to go out there and like I said a moment ago, suspend disbelief. What would you call it? Redcon. It's unreal. All right, dude, we're gonna take a break. You and I are coming right back. I got a question for you about Tim Walz, so stand by for that one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're with the Grand Council. 2 out of 3, at least. We have a quorum. We can still convene. We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. Going right back now to the Grand Council. We've already introduced Dale Jackson, and I am happy to say that we have scooped up our fellow brethren, Jeff Poor, from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. And, oh, by the way, editor-in-chief at 1819 News. Jeff Poor, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. Sorry I was late. I have no excuse.
We'll go ahead and just let you knock out 20 push-ups and keep moving.
Get right on those.
Thank you very much. All right, hey, listen, Jeff, you want to jump in with a question first? Because Dale and I already did two each. So if you got one for us, sling it, man. What you got?
Well, and this is a hard one. If the election were tomorrow, I mean, where is this race right now? What do you think? What are we looking at here?
Dale, you can go first if you want to, but I
think Kamala Harris wins. Not something any of us want, but I think at this point she's turned it around. The media's basically turned it around for her, to be honest with you. But I think that's where we are, and nothing's affecting her because she has plot armor. I mean, she just doesn't have to do anything. She has everyone already defending her, and you can't hurt her when she doesn't talk, and there's no evidence her not talking doesn't hurt her. So why should she? I mean, I think she's in a pretty good spot.
So I agree and disagree. I don't think she would win today, but I think it's Trump's race to lose still, but I think she has gained ground. She got that free pass, that bump that everybody who was just freaking out over the fact that the top of their ticket was Joe Biden is now breathing a heavy sigh of relief. And they're like, we'll do it. We'll just go with Kamala. This is so good. I'm so glad. But I don't know that that's going to sustain. And I think part of it's going to depend on whether or not there's any implosion next week at the DNC. Jeff, it's your own question. What do you think?
Well, one thing I'd keep in mind, and I know Dale doesn't like the polls are wrong, but if you factor in the margin of difference from 16 and to 2020 and how they got it wrong, I mean, I still think Trump's got a lead. And I think for Kamala Harris to be president again, I mean, she's really going to have to run up the score just to be sure. There's no doubt. I mean, you think about that when it comes to the polls.
What was that, like 9 points in swing states, right? Like something like that. The polls are nine points
when you poll registered Democrats. I mean,
I think what Jeff's talking about is like the polling where you say the poll was wrong. Like overall, Hillary Clinton won, right? Like she won by 2 points, yes. And she did win by 2 points. But in the swing states like Michigan, the polls were off by like 9 points.
I got you.
I think that's
so Kamala Harris was. Yeah, if Kamala Harris was president, I mean, she's got to have a double digit lead in the polls, I would think, and then maybe that plays itself out when they actually vote.
Yeah, well, if you haven't seen this clip, Jeff, I think you're talking about this, but I could be wrong. There's a clip on CNN by Harry Enten, and he's laying all of this out, and he's like, "Look, the polls," and that's where I got the 9 points from. But I think there's evidence that. But if you take the two polls to get 2016 and 2020, there's like a 9-point margin of error in some of these swing states. So,
all right. Well, let me segue off of that because I'm going to jump on the next question then. So here's my thing. Are they having buyer's remorse about Tim Walz? I think it was a gaffe of a rollout. If they like him, they sure did a horrible job of being ready to defend him because the attacks were going to come on day one, and they have. But it keeps getting worse, and some of the stuff that they're dealing with on Walz is the kind that is a bipartisan worse, especially the Stolen Valor piece, which is still gaining traction. There are more videos that keep showing up. So my question is this. Are Democrats having buyer's remorse about Tim Walz, Dale?
More has to happen. Not enough yet. I think that they've protected and shielded him appropriately. Appropriately is not the right word. Effectively. They have shielded him from this largely. I don't think that he is taking any big blows. Plus, he's just a likable old coach who wants tampons in the bathroom, don't you know?
He's a coach. He's just affable.
You know, how many assistant coaches in your life do you refer to as coach when you're not on the football field?
Who didn't really do a lot of coaching. Yeah. Jeff.
He coached boys on how to put tampons in.
Do you ever think of a race where we spent this much time dissecting the bottom of the ticket? And when the bottom of the ticket really matters, the only time I could ever think where the bottom of the ticket really shifted the numbers at all was with Sarah Palin when McCain picked her. I think this news cycle is going to wear itself out.
Yeah. Well, and it may because I got 75 days left to hide.
He's fun to pick on. because the reality is he's done dumb things, and he's done something that people view as unforgivable. So people will hammer that point home until he acknowledges it.
Dale, I just think about Tim Walz. I don't think he's likable. I think there's like a likability thing, and he fails it. I mean, they can talk about Vance and Trump being
mind
weird
your own
or whatever,
damn business.
But he's just look at him and you're like who is this guy?
I look at it and think he's likable for the first few minutes, and then you realize he's like the neighbor who shouts across the fence and tells you you're mowing your grass wrong. He's that guy, and gets in your business and because he knows things. That's the way he strikes
he's
me.
He's got this like folksy Midwestern thing, but then like he's this lunatic woke guy. I mean, you're right. Like the initial first impression, maybe, but like after 5 minutes, you're like, okay, I don't want anything to do with this guy. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, it's not just that he's done some things. It's like he's done some egregious things, like meeting with clerics who promote Hamas and literally standing against and tampons in boys' bathrooms and things he could have vetoed if he'd wanted to, and he chose not to. Which
I mean, you mentioned that he's unlikable, and I agree with that. I don't find him to be particularly likable or anything like that. It's forced, and I think people see it. And I think that Command Sergeant Major, oh, yes, Coach, shut the hell up. Nobody talks like this, and nobody thinks like this. And I think most people see through this, and all the people who are doing it, they know they're being frauds and ridiculous. It's just, look, I coach my son's basketball team. I now refer to myself as Coach from here on out.
I'm calling you Coach Jackson from now on.
Thank you.
Tommy Tuberville's going to be upset by that remark.
I told Tuberville to his face that I wasn't going to call him Coach.
All right, fellas, the music's playing. Jeff Poor, we're glad you showed up, man. And that's the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 1819 News, Dale Jackson, with Cumulus Broadcasting all over the place and Yellowhammer News, and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. The Go Home Half Hour comes up next.